praise the Lord. It's June the 23rd, Wednesday evening, and we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Really, I want to go first to verse 9. So it's Mark chapter 4, verse 9, 10, and 11. And he said unto them, this is Jesus talking after he had shared the parable of the sower. He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that good news? That's just good news. If I was those folks and Jesus looked at me and said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I would say, well, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. For seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So I'm just going to go back and let's look at that again. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when they were alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Now, we sometimes get it in our mind, I think, that Jesus just had the 12 with him alone all the time. But no, there was usually a lot of people besides just the 12 disciples with Jesus who went everywhere with him. You know, there was other followers. Remember the 70 he sent out 2 by 2? And he gave them power over all unclean spirits? So there was a lot of people who really did follow Jesus besides just the 12. Now, the 12 were the closest of all of them to him, because they were the foundational apostles that he chose. But he said this to them, and he said to them straight in their face, he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And as a pastor, I want to say to you, everyone here tonight, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I really believe Jesus, when he said that, meant that. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's a powerful, powerful statement out of the mouth of the Savior. And you can say that, thank you. Let's get started, Lord. Let's get started. I'm ready to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the same place. You know, there's only one kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. But as unto me, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's given unto me to know them. Well, then how come I don't know it yet, if it's been given to me to know? What he is saying is the ability, the availability, and the conditions, and everything you'll ever need is being made available to you to know everything you'll ever need to know when you need to know it. There's some things in the kingdom you can't handle knowing right now. It would just blow your mind. But the things that you can receive and the things you can't aren't capable of getting, you can get it. Isn't this good news? It's excited about that particular verse. I could stay right there and camp at that verse all night and talk about what is given to us to know. Well, maybe that's where we need to camp. Maybe we need to start thinking about what is it I'm supposed to know? Because I think everyone's knowing level is different. I don't think that the things that I know, everybody could handle knowing. And there's things that others know that I couldn't handle yet to know. You know, my 4-year-old granddaughter couldn't possibly understand and know some things that I know, because she's not developed to that place yet to even handle what I would if she was to know it. She couldn't know it, even if she wanted to know it. But the Lord says, it's given unto me to know the mysteries. And there are definitely mysteries in the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And you know, a lot of people just stop right there. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But we're going to know it one day in heaven, in the sweet by and by. We'll get to know it then. That's not what it's getting ready to tell you in the next verse. The next verse says, that's right, eye hath not seen, and ear has never heard, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, didn't it just say in the first few verses before that, that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew? No one knew it, but we know it now, because verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isn't that just wonderful news? I think that you just have to, first of all, as a believer, know there's a whole lot ahead of you to know. There's a whole lot of information coming your way. And it's going to come your way. And sometimes it comes to me in bucketfuls. Sometimes it comes to me in just cupfuls. Sometimes it comes to me in a teacup size, a measure. There's things that I couldn't handle right now. But then... then there it is, that door is wide open, and I get the revelation of it. And then it's like, oh boy, I'm ready for more. Amen. For a while there, though, you've just got to absorb the first level of that information. Right. You really do. You have to, it just line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Whom will the Lord teach wisdom and knowledge and understanding? Who? It's those that are weaned from the breast, those that are ready to start eating the food. For a long time there, I was a baby Christian. I just had to just get the milk of the Word. Then I was ready to introduce, God was getting ready to introduce me some solid food. I couldn't jump right out of the womb and start eating a big old steak. And you can't either. No one can get born again of the Spirit of God and then just start chewing steak. Because the babies don't even have teeth yet. And it takes a while for the teeth to grow to the point where it can even chew solid foods of that kind. So there's things that are coming. Just know it's given to you to know. That's awesome revelation right there. And I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he's given it to us through the Spirit. He's revealed it to us through the Spirit. Now people want to know God in a physical level. They want to sit around and talk about the Scriptures. They want to sit around and look at the Bible and read the Bible and discuss the Bible. And they want to get it all in a five physical sense level or emotional level. And you can't receive the things of the Spirit of God by reading the Bible. It's got to come through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one who reveals these things to you through his Spirit. When I first got that revelation, it was a major opening for me to get more. Because what I began to do then was I began to say, okay, this Bible is a physical book. There's physical pages on this physical book. And there's physical words on this physical page. And there's a physical eyes that are reading this physical book on a physical page. Now, I'm breaking it down, but I want you to think about it. You have to physically pick up your Bible. You have to physically set aside the time to read that Bible. And you have to, it's in a physical situation you're in. But it's your spirit man that's going to get the benefit of it. And it's the Holy Spirit who's going to bring the revelation of what's in that Word. I used to tell people all the time, they say, well, I don't read the Bible because I can't understand it. And I said, that's the very reason I do read it. Because I don't understand it, but I know the Holy Spirit knows how to bring it to my understanding. And it's not an understanding of my five physical senses. It's an understanding that's way beyond that. It's an understanding of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the only one that can reveal these revelations. It's revelation knowledge that's coming my way. Revelation knowledge. And a lot of people say, well, then I can't remember it. You know, I don't have good memory. I can't remember anything. It don't do me no good to try to memorize the Bible or try to read it because I'll forget it the next day. How many times have I heard folks say that? But I want you to remember when Jesus was, and this was not a parable. Jesus was telling about a rich man And there was a poor man named Lazarus who was a beggar who sat at his gate begging for the crumbs that fell off of his table. Every day they carried him to the rich man's home to beg. Just to beg for a crumb. And the rich man died and Lazarus died. And automatically the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, in torment, and he had perfect memory recall. Perfect memory recall. In fact, he knew Abraham and had never seen Abraham, but he knew who he was. You see, your spiritual mind has perfect revelation, understanding of things it's never even seen. I really believe that once you die and you leave your physical body, there's a part of you, that soul realm, that memory realm, is in the soul of man. It's an eternal part of you. It's not just a physical part of you. Yeah, there's a physical organ called a brain, but there's a part of us in this that's called a spirit, the spirit of man, and there is a soul that's attached to that spirit of that man or woman, and that'll live forever. And when you die, you will have perfect memory of everything. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. I was saying, Lord, I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Don't let anybody blame me for them ending up in hell. I don't want anybody hating me in hell. And the Lord says, somebody already hates you in hell. There's quite a few people actually that hate you in hell right now, that are in hell right now, and they remember you, they know you, and they hate you. They blame you for them being there. I said, oh, I didn't need to hear that. But that's a revelation to me I'd never even had before. I'm just sharing that tonight because I want you to know there are people in hell who have perfect memory. So don't use that as an excuse to not know the Word of God or read the Word of God. Because your memory is a spiritual force within you. It's a part of you. Spirit. It's part of your spirit. It really will work. As you begin to realize that your spirit man knows things your head never will know. That's why praying in tongues is so important. Years and years ago, the Lord began to teach me through Kenneth Hagin that how praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is so powerful and so vital a part of my life in my development and my growth in the Spirit. Because it says he that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's just go there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, since we're in 1 Corinthians. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's exciting. I mean, to know that you can operate in this and walk in that, it's a provisional thing of the Spirit of God in your human spirit. It's your human spirit that prays. We think it's the Holy Spirit praying. No, it's the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to pray out of your human spirit. And you talk to God in mysteries. The Holy Spirit gives you the utterance to pray in an unknown tongue. So, It is he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Is that in your Bible? Is it in my Bible? I think the biggest problem of not receiving the mysteries is that when we come across a verse like this that we don't understand, we just like to take a big old whiteout marker and white that part out and say, you know what, I don't need that particular verse. But let me tell you this verse, if you want to know mysteries of the kingdom, you need to operate in this verse right here. Because if you're not speaking mysteries out of your human spirit, it'll never dawn on your you'll get some maybe, but it's not the level that God wants you to walk into. Because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. If I feel led to pray in tongues, I just pray in tongues. I don't care if I'm in a grocery store. I don't care where I am. If I have an urge in my spirit, it's like an urge. I feel this, you know, like an unction. It's like a prompting. Let's say whatever it is. It's kind of like, you know how you ever have an attack that you want a Big Mac real bad, a Big Mac attack? And you've got this, ooh, I just got to have a Big Mac, or ooh, I just got to go get a hot dog, or something to eat. a lot of times our urges for food really is our urges for something spiritual. Did you know that? God taught me that years ago. He said a lot of times you're hungry for me and you're substituting me for food. And you stop eating the food and eat the word and feed your spirit man, your physical body would not be as hungry. Did you know that? Yeah. It's a truth. And so an urge comes over me. And sometimes when I get an urge to go eat, I know it's my spirit man urging me to get some word in me. I'm spiritually hungry. We're so connected. We're so interwoven. You are a spirit. You possess a soul, but you live in a physical body. And you've got voices to learn to discern between what voice is what voice. And the Holy Spirit living in you is a voice. And as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit to allow your spirit to pray in mysteries. Pray in unknown language. And unknown revelations are coming out of your mouth. Just accept this. Believe me when I tell you this. That when you start praying in tongues, and you begin to pray, allow the Holy Spirit to give you an utterance through your spirit. Your tongue has got to do the moving. Your voice box has got to do the speaking. It comes up out of your spirit, and you begin to talk to God out of your heart, out of your spirit. You are praying in a language, and you are giving articulate speech to a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Words are coming through you that came out of God, came out of heaven into your spirit and back to the throne of God, and your head just can't seem to get it because it's not a natural thing. It's spiritually discerned. But your spirit man is still praying mysteries. And what will happen is this. You'll be walking along one day, and all of a sudden, you'll have a revelation. Something of the Spirit of God. It'll dawn in your human mind. Your thinker will begin to pick up on something that you've been praying about maybe for weeks or months. And all of a sudden now, your human thinking, your human processes, it's called revelation knowledge. It's like light has come to your understanding. There's a place in your mind and of your conscious mind that this spiritual force that's working in your life begins to bring illumination to the consciousness of your understanding in your physical mind. And then it becomes implanted in the form of an image. And then you begin to say, I see it now. I see that. But you've been praying about it in the spirit a long time because you've been speaking mysteries all along. All along. So if you don't take advantage of praying in tongues, you're missing out on a lot of revelation knowledge that God really wants you to have. Because it's an avenue that it flows. There is a way that it gets to us. There's many ways it gets to it. Another way that you get revelation knowledge is when you sit under an anointed minister, such as myself or someone else who's in ministry, who's got a gift of prophecy. See, the gift of prophecy is not something you just come up and decide, oh, I think I'm going to be a preacher. If you want to sit under anybody, you can. But when you sit under a person that is anointed with a prophetic gift that is an unction of the Holy Spirit, then God can work through that person like flowing through a pipe where water flows through, and you can get splashed on, and revelation can come to you through a person like that. And the more revelation that, because the one thing about the ministry is I learned this, you can never, ever grow beyond your pastor, ever. I don't care where you go to church, water always finds its level, right? You can never grow beyond that minister. Because what happens if you do, and this has happened to me in churches I've been in, when I began to seek God beyond what that minister was teaching me, God would move me into a shepherd, under a shepherd, and into a pasture where I could be moved on up a little more. So you can only, you just will never, though, be able to grow beyond your pastor. You can't get any more revelation than what that minister is giving you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you do go out and start seeking, getting hungry, because I'm telling you what, I got hungry. I had a pastor come to me. It was back over in Stringtown, Darlene. Yeah. Pastor Garrett Sweeney came to visit me one day, and he told me, he said, I'm an Assembly of God, and I can't let you ever preach because I'm under their authority. He said, but I know you're called to preach. This is 25 years, 20-some years ago. And he said, and you pray more than most preachers I've ever met pray. And you have an anointing on you. Remember how I used to preach? I'd start to testify. Next thing you know, I'd be up and down the aisles. People thought I was pretty out there. But, you know, he just had to come and tell me that personally. He said, it's not me. It's the affiliation that I'm under. And I have to abide under their guidelines. Now, you know, that's sad that churches have strapped people from walking in the things that they're supposed to be walking in. But religion does that. Religion always put, you know, there's a scripture that says that your traditions have made the Word of God of none effect. And that's what tradition will do. It always will make the Word of God of none effect. You have to just be careful. But you and I are responsible for our own development. I never could stand before God and judge another man and point another man, put a finger in somebody else's face and said, you know, Lord, I didn't go to heaven because that pastor didn't do what he was supposed to do. Or this person didn't do what they were supposed to. I can't do that. In fact, you'll never be able to accuse anybody before the throne of God because, you know the old saying, you got one finger pointing at somebody, there's three pointing back at you. You ever see that? Anytime you ever judge somebody, look at your hand. There's three fingers pointing back at you when you've got one pointing at somebody else. That's just a good way to think about it. Is I can't judge anybody. And that person that's hating me and the people that are hating me in hell right now because I didn't maybe do what I should have done, believe me, people in hell, just like people in jail, they're never going to blame somebody. They're always going to blame somebody else for their problem. And for eternity, they will always be sorry. But they're not going to be sorry for... They're going to be sorry that they're there, but they're going to blame somebody else for their being there. And they had an opportunity to hear the Word. I remember telling one fellow one time, looked at him and I said, you'll remember me in hell. Because I did my best to reach you and to tell you about the things of the kingdom of God. That's been a long time ago. I have lost touch with that fellow. I don't even know where he is today. But there's people in hell that hate me right now. Because for one thing, they knew that I knew. They know that I knew. And they are probably really angry that I didn't do more to help them keep from going there. They're probably angry. I know this one person I'm thinking of, probably pretty angry at me right now that I didn't bend over backwards and try to keep him from going to that horrible place. And you know, I can't say that I shouldn't have tried a little harder because it is a pretty horrible place. Maybe I should have tried harder. Maybe I should have done more. I don't know if it would have made any difference or not. I don't know if it would have helped or not. But let's go back to what we were talking about here. For he that speaketh, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Just take that and say, Lord, I need to speak in tongues more. I need to pray in tongues more. Have you ever just said, I'm going to pray in tongues an hour today? I've done that. I'm going to pray in tongues an hour. And you talk about the devil being upset about and nervous about that. An hour? You'll hear the voice. You're not going to pray. You're not serious. An hour? Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to do an hour. And if you keep bugging me, I might do 2 hours. Because that's what he hates. He hates it. Because when you start praying in tongues, I mean, just get on your knees and start, or however you pray, and just start praying in tongues. And it's amazing the revelations that will come into your life through just at exercise. And it allows your spirit man to be stronger. It allows your spirit man to be developed. You really are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. There's more capacity on your inside being, the real you, than what you're limited on your physical being. Our physical bodies are so limited, but your spiritual being is very, very unlimited. We just haven't tapped into the resources that are available to us through the Spirit. Now, the scriptures the Lord began to give me this afternoon, I want to go to, so we're going to 3 John verse 1. It's only one page on 3 John. And it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, John the Revelator is the one who wrote this letter to whoever this well-beloved Gaius is. And his first thing utterance out of his mouth is that I wish, beloved, above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So there is a balance there in prosperity. This is a revelation coming at you. This is a revelation. This is one of those mysteries of the kingdom. And only your spirit man can really grasp this. This is not a head thing. In fact, no revelation of the kingdom of God is a head thing. It's always the revelation of the human spirit. It's always revelation knowledge. And it has to dawn on your human spirit to get it. So when you understand that prosperity, we're talking true prosperity, true riches, would that you prosper and be in health. So it's talking about being financially successful, nothing missing, nothing broken, completely well, being healthy, being blessed, having no lack, having no need, no fear of lack, no fear of need, prospering. Prosper means things are keeping getting better and better and better. I would that you prosper and be in health. You have to have both to prosper, because if you're sick and you're always running to the doctor and you're taking medicine and all those things are draining on your finances, and you're not really prosperous if you're sick. Sick is not prosperous. Prosperous is not sick. You have to have a balance. And then he goes on to say, even as your soul prospereth. What's the soul? The soul is the part of you that will be there forever, eternity. It's an eternal part of us. Just like going back to Lazarus and the rich man in hell, his spirit was intact in hell and his soul was intact in hell, and he had perfect recall and revelation knowledge. Perfect revelation knowledge in hell. So he can say, he didn't prosper. Even though he was rich in this world, he didn't prosper. He probably wasn't in health because he died. And his soul didn't prosper. You see, you've got to have those balance. You've got to have those three things. And we're talking about revelation knowledge. I would that you be in health. Would that you prosper first and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Soul prosperity is the key. Soul prosperity is the key to physical prosperity and health. If your soul isn't prosperous, chances are things aren't going to be very prosperous in the financial realm and in your health realm. So we've got to get our soul prosperity where it should be. The level of soul prosperity is really a balance in the level of your financial prosperity. Being prosperous. The Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. There's so many scriptures. It is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth and gain. There's just so many, many scriptures. But the bottom line is the soul being prosperous. And it all goes back to having revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus looked at those people and he said, "It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." Now I'm going to show you something really neat I was studying today. And this I believe that wasn't a coincidence that I was studying this particular scripture. But I want you to go back now to St. John. Of course, the same man wrote this book also, St. John. And we're going to go to St. John chapter 3. St. John chapter 3, and this is where he has this encounter with Nicodemus. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do, or thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand the kingdom of God. And let's just jump down a few verses here to verse 12. If I have told you earthly things, this is St. John chapter 3, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now think about that. If you didn't believe when I told you of just common earthly things, and you still didn't believe, how are you possibly going to believe something that came, or I'm going to tell you about something out of heaven, if you can't even believe something that's here on earth? You know, some people are just like that. They're hard-headed, and they just won't get, even if you tell them something earthly. But how are you ever going to get a revelation knowledge to somebody that can't even understand something earthly? So Jesus is saying here, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now look at verse 13. This is such a neat revelation. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. Because, you know, nobody's gone to heaven. No man's ascended up into heaven. But he that came down from heaven. In other words, if you're here on this earth and you know all anything at all about heavenly things, you've had to have encountered heaven somewhere in your eternity, somewhere, somehow. Or you would not have any understanding of heavenly things. You've had to have encountered heaven. In other words, if you've got any revelation at all as a believer, it's because you've encountered heaven somewhere. And you may not have physically been in heaven, but your spirit man has touched heaven. Because only somebody that has encountered heaven is going to understand heaven. Because that's what Jesus is really saying here. He said, No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Isn't that just neat? I just think that's such a neat thing. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now, I used to read this and I'd think, okay, what's the condemnation? Let's get a revelation here. I want a revelation, Lord. I don't want just head knowledge in this. I want to know what the kingdom of heaven, because you said it was given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I believe this is a mystery of the kingdom. Because he's talking to the ruler of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, an educated man who knew the scriptures. And he said, if I'm telling you earthly things and you don't get it, how are you going to understand if you don't receive, how are you going to receive these heavenly things? And then he says, then he goes on to talk about what's getting ready to happen to him. God gave his Son, came out of heaven, so heaven can touch people. So you can be prosperous and be in health even as your soul prospers. Soul prosperity was not possible until Jesus came into this atmosphere. Until he came to earth, until the incarnation of God came in the form of a man, heaven wasn't available to us. Mysteries. I'm talking, these things were never available. Did you know blinded eyes had never been healed ever until Jesus came? Never. Never ever had a blinded eye ever been healed. Now they've healed leprosy. Remember Naaman and the prophet? I mean, leprosy had been healed. Lots of other things had been healed, but blinded eyes had never been healed. And I truly believe that that is because that is a that there was a, such a scale over the eyes, and revelation knowledge was not available until Jesus came. Because heaven had to be brought in. Revelation is a heavenly force. Y'all get that? Okay. Now he says here, and this is the condemnation. That light, here is the light. Jesus is the light. Light has come. You think of light as revelation. Light is illumination. Light means you've encountered something you've never encountered before. You're able to know something you were never able to know before. Mysteries of the kingdom. Light has come. It's available now. In fact, anybody that wants to know about the kingdom of heaven, if they really want to know, they can know. It's because, you know, if you believe, that's the key. You got to believe. And he says, this is the condemnation, though. This is it. This is the problem. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the revelation, because their deeds were evil. You see, the heart of man, heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. The heart of man, that's what happened in the fall. Sin entered into the heart of men. Mankind, men and women, and the heart became wicked, full of pride, cursings, evil deeds, evil thoughts, all these things that were completely opposite of God. That's why Satan got kicked out of heaven, because heaven, he would have corrupted heaven if he was allowed to go to heaven. That's why sin can never enter into heaven. It's like a cancer that gets in a human body and it eats it away. This destructive force. Sin is a destructive force. Heaven could not be heaven with sin in it. So, but because men love their deeds and they love sin, that revelation, that darkness, they don't want the light. Excuse me. Darlene and I were praying over a situation, and the Lord gave us a revelation while we were praying. I think we always had the revelation, but we never actually knew how to express it in words. And the Lord gave us a way to express it in revelation terms. And we began to pray for this individual. Lord, this is how we pray. Lord, we ask that this person's eyes will be open. Spiritual eyes will be open. And this person will see the demon activity that's in their life. And that when they see it, when the illumination comes, did you ever walk in a barn and flip the light on and see the rats scurry? I have. Because they don't like the light. They fly everywhere. I was raised on a farm with a barn. And you turn the lights on, the rats will run and hide. And that's the way it is with demon and demon activity in our lives. If you start bringing illumination and the light comes on, but when people begin to see how evil really evil is, how evil it is. So we pray, God, let this person see just how wicked and how evil, because the enemy doesn't want them to see just how wicked evil is, how bad evil is. So the contrast of light and dark makes it visible. And then they can begin to see, oh, wow, that isn't good. I don't like that. And then we said, Lord, once he sees, we know that he's going to fall out of agreement with that spirit. We prayed, Father, let them fall out of agreement with the devil. Let them fall out of agreement with sin. Because it really is about falling out of agreement with something. Either you're in agreement or you're not in agreement. Then Amos, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You really, if you're walking along with somebody, I've got a sister right now to this day that we don't talk about politics because we do not agree. It'll just end up big old fight. So I don't go there because we do not agree. But I like talking politics to people who agree with me. Don't you? Most people do. You don't want to fight, do you? I don't like fighting with people. Because it's hard to persuade somebody in a different manner than what they've already settled in their mind they believe. But if you can get a person to fall out of agreement with an idea, fall out of agreement with a spirit that's working in their life, fall out of agreement with sin, just fall out of agreement with evil. And it takes God to do that. It really takes illumination of the Spirit of God to do that. So as long as you're hanging on and you're agreeing with something, you're not going to let go of it. And that's what Jesus said here in verse 19, and this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. There is no more excuse for not knowing truth. Truth came through Jesus Christ. So if we don't know the truth, it's because we haven't taken the time to know it, and we're still in agreement with the darkness. Because if we fall out of agreement with anything that's of the devil or anything of darkness, then we're going to come over into agreement in an area that we may have never been in agreement with before. And when we start walking in an agreement with God, then more can come. More can come. More revelation can come. Because it's a revelation that you're getting into agreement with anyway. It's light that you're walking in agreement with. It may not feel good to the flesh, and it might not feel good to our way of thinking, but it's still light, and we have to agree with the light, the revelation. Remember what Jesus said? If you don't even understand or believe what I tell you earthly, how are you going to believe or receive something from heaven? But if you do receive something out of heaven and you do get the revelation of it and you say, I agree with that, and you move over into that realm of agreement, then that means you have walked out of agreement with darkness. And the condemnation is so clear in your face. This is the condemnation. You can see it in every area of life with people. We can all move up a little closer. Am I right or wrong? Can we all not move up into a little more revelation and agree with some more revelation? God, I need more. I'm willing to agree with that, God. I'm willing to fall out of agreement with darkness and come into revelation of light. And so he says, and heavenly things can come to us. Because this is what else he says. He says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. I can remember as a baby Christian thinking that, well, God ain't seeing. God, if I could just put him out of my mind, then I could get away with that. And he sees everything. You know, the Bible says the light is the same as the dark with God. It is. It's the same. You can't hide anything. He sees us. He knows us inside and out. So I've decided, you know, Lord, I'm just going to come in agreement with light. And as you reveal it to me, I'm going to walk in it. And I'll tell you, there's a promise. And I may have shared this with you before. It's in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3. I remember reading this verse. The Holy Spirit took me to this verse, and he said, this is what you claim. Because I used to cry and cry and cry. And I said, Lord, I can't be good. This is the way I used to pray. I used to cry and beg. And I used to say, God, I just can't be good enough. I can't do good enough. I just can't make myself be good enough. I don't know how to keep from sinning. I don't know how to do this. And Lord, I just don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know how. And I didn't know how. Because I really didn't know nothing. Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how. What do you expect of me? I just can't get it. I can remember just crying and being so upset. And the Holy Spirit took me to this verse. And he says, as long as you keep doing this, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. Remember, he's the one who came out of heaven. I didn't come out of heaven. But I'm in touch with the one that came out of heaven. So this is what chapter 3, verse 13 says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. See, I don't beat myself up. I don't walk in condemnation because I want the light. I've already settled that. I'm willing to change, God. As you bring illumination and you bring revelation, I'm willing to fall out of agreement with whatever it is I've been wrong in, and I'll start agreeing with you, and I'll come into agreement with you. You just bring the light as I can handle it. You bring the revelation out of heaven as mystery in the things of the kingdom as I can take it in, and I will fall out of agreement, and I will grow in the things of God. I've just settled that in my heart. But there's things that I'm not out of agreement yet with in the dark. But light's coming. More light's coming to everybody. And so he says here, he says, this one thing, this is what Paul said to the Philippians, this, the letter in Philippians. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know, I haven't arrived, is what he's saying. But this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if in anything I be otherwise minded, or you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. He'll reveal it to you. That's just the biggest, boy, that was a relief to me. Really, God? You mean you're going to reveal to me when I'm missing it? You're going to let me know? As long as you stay teachable, as long as you're serious to change. Change will always be there for the good. And light will always keep coming. Because I press toward that mark of revelation. I press toward that mark of the high calling. I believe the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Because the more mysteries of the kingdom I know, the more empowered I am to deal with the devil, to deal with my life, to deal with and to operate in the things of the kingdom. You can't do something you don't know anything about. There was a time when I couldn't ride a bicycle. There was a time I couldn't drive a car. There was a time I wasn't capable of driving a car. You know, there's just things that I couldn't fly an airplane because I'm not capable of flying an airplane. But I'll guarantee you, if I put my time and effort into it, I could learn to fly an airplane. I could get the knowledge it takes to do that. I've got a higher calling, though. I've got a higher mark I'm aiming for. I want to walk and operate in the things of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And I'm willing to fall out of agreement of anything in the dark. Anything. And the condemnation, if you don't do that, you will always feel guilty. It's just the condemnation. That's what is the condemnation. That's why people walk around feeling condemned, because they know they're not in agreement with light. And they feel that. They sense that. They may not know it all together, but they don't have any peace. Like the gentleman said to me last night, I don't have any peace. Well, the peace is because you are under condemnation. You don't have any peace because the prince of this world is condemned. Look at St. John chapter 16. That's another one of the verses I wrote down tonight. This is when Jesus was talking to the disciples before he went to the cross. And this was his farewell address to them before he left this earth. Before he went and suffered on the cross and was killed, was crucified. And he says this to them. Nevertheless, verse 7, St. John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin right there. Not believing on Jesus. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. What a promise. What an awesome, awesome promise. Because this is all about revelation knowledge. The sky is not even the limit. We're talking heavenly things. And the Holy Spirit came down out of heaven because Jesus sent him. I'm so thankful I have the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful he's in my life because he's the one who's doing the works. He's the one who anoints us. He's the one who breaks that anointing that breaks the yoke, the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding. He that came out of heaven knows heaven, understands the mysteries of heaven, and he can reveal those things, those mysteries to us. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to allow him to pray, because he's going to speak to you. I just think that's just an awesome promise. Awesome promise. But St. John chapter 8. Just flip over. Same book. And this is a sobering word right here. I was reading this the other day, and it just... I guess because I was praying about, you know, the lost, and I'm just so sad for people because they don't believe. And St. John chapter 8, Jesus said this to them, starting with verse 17. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Now he's talking to Pharisees here. Verse 20, These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whether I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Isn't that just the saddest words the Savior ever spoke? Because there's multitudes right now in hell who have died in their sins because they didn't believe that he was him, the one that came down out of heaven, the one that brought light. But men's hearts are evil. They like the evil. But we pray, God, let them fall out of agreement with that evil. When I pray for a lost soul, this is the way I pray. Because it says that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That's in Romans. Let's just turn there real quick in Romans. I didn't have this verse written down, but it's in Romans chapter 2. Verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. It was always the goodness of God in my life that brought me out of the mess I was in, because he didn't want to leave me there. He wanted me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospered. In other words, he knew my soul had to prosper in order for the prosperity financially to come and the health to come. You want to prosper in your finances and your health? Get your soul prospering. Get the revelation knowledge out of heaven in your life. That's where prosperity really is in the soul. It starts in the soul. In James it says, Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, the word of God is God speaking to us in the earth today. And but it takes the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to bring the revelation to us on a heart level. Not a head level. It's a heart level thing. But the illumination of the Word of God is what will bring the prosperity of the soul. Let's look at a couple more verses. Romans chapter 8. Since we're in Romans, let's flip over to Romans chapter 8. My heart just really yearns to get people born again. Bring them out of the things of the earth, earthly things. Because they're minding earthly things, natural things, and they're sense-ruled people. But I want to bring people into revelation knowledge of God. And I said, Lord, it is your goodness that will lead people to repent or fall out of agreement with darkness. Because once they see how good you are, and the goodness and the forbearance, and once they see the mercy of God in their lives, surely they'll want more of you. And usually that's the way it works. The more revelation people get, if you can just let them see that it was God that did that for them, and you can pray a prayer for someone that's in a desperate situation, and then they don't know where else to go, and then they see God intervene, and guess what will happen? They start getting a little glimpse of revelation of light. And hopefully they got sense enough. I think it's a stupid person that goes to hell, if you want to know the truth. I think it's pretty stupid of people to end up in hell. I think it's just stupid. I think a smart person would always choose life. A smart person, an intelligent person, would always say, you know what? I think God has the best way. Amen. I think stupid people would say, oh, I don't think I want God, or I don't think I like his way. And it's hard to deal with stupid. It's really hard. I don't even like that word, but it's still the truth. And I say, God, I ask you to please bring them revelation of who you are. And when I pray for them, God, let them see your goodness in their lives. And let it dawn on their spirit, man, that it was you that intervened in their life. So they will want more of you. And the goodness of God will lead people to repent. Because guess what? He is a good God. And he'll just keep being good. And keep being good. Amen. It's the devil who causes you all your trouble. It ain't God. He said, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God, because it's impossible for God to tempt anybody with evil. He doesn't have any evil. He doesn't think evil. He doesn't plan evil. He's a good God. And I mean really good beyond our understanding. I mean the goodness of God is beyond our understanding. But he can give it to you. He can give you the understanding of his goodness. I know how I have a level of revelation of his goodness that I didn't have 20 years ago. But I'm telling you, God is so good. Why would you want anyone but God? So Romans chapter 8, I'm going to go back to this verse. Verse 1 of chapter 8, the first words out of there is therefore now no condemnation. Why isn't there no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? We just talked about why there's condemnation. This is the condemnation because people... Or men, talking men and women when it talks men, mankind, would rather have the darkness in their life. And that prince of this world is already judged. He's already condemned. He's already been sentenced. Sin is judged. And so if you're always in agreement with sin, you're judged too. And I don't mean whatever level of sin any of us have, you're going to feel the condemnation in that area. Why not just get rid of it? You know? Because it's always bugging you. It's always eating at you. It's always condemning you, right? Well, you can walk free of all condemnation because the word promises there is therefore now no condemnation. When's the now? When the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free, completely free. Who the Son makes free is free indeed. See, he makes us free. And the revelation of that has to come from the Holy Spirit. You know, I could sit up here I could stand in front of an audience and preach the Word of God for hours. But it can, and if I'm just a nice orator and I'm a good speaker, everybody might have a little bit of a feel-good feeling, but there's something about the Word of prophecy coming through the anointed Word of God that will dawn on your human spirit because it's spirit speaking to spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm not talking and ministering out of my head knowledge. It's a spiritual knowledge. It's spiritual revelation. Amen. And it's there for edification, for encouragement, for inspiration. So you walk away from church feeling like, you know, we heard from heaven tonight. I heard from heaven. I heard from God. God spoke something to me. And you'll walk away and have a knowing of something he said to you because that nobody, maybe somebody else didn't even get. But it was a word just for you, dropped into your human spirit out of heaven. Because it came out of heaven. Because heaven, you can't get heaven unless you get it from heaven.
That's right.
It's just the way it is. Now, if I tell you earthly things and you still can't believe, how are you going to believe heavenly things if you don't hear it from heaven? And you have to be a part of heaven. And that's why he says right here, the Spirit of life, in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Because when you accept Jesus, you've been set free. He became a curse. He became sin that you could be made righteous. You've been made to sit in heavenly places. Praise be unto God who made us always triumph in Christ. There's just scripture after scripture that brings revelation of who we are in Him. As long as you're in Him, you're in revelation. Stay in revelation. Fall out of agreement with the things of this earth and walk in the things of the kingdom of heaven, because it's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Doesn't it just excite you? I'm going to get more in my word. I'm going to get more word and more revelation. But this is what I started to go to. Verse 5 of chapter 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, or of darkness. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or is an enemy of God, or against God, for it's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God or receive from God. And I'm putting a little extra wording in there, but that's basically what it says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, the verse that I kept coming to me that I had to look up real quick was in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to finish with this verse, because this verse, to me, sums it all up, everything I've said tonight. To me, it's a summation verse. And it's Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 10. Finally, my brethren. There was a whole lot ahead of all that, you understand. But this verse here says, finally. After about 5 or 6 chapters here, he says, finally. He's finishing up his letter. And this was what he ends the letter with. Finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord. Didn't put a period there. He put, be strong in the Lord, comma. I think where most Christians really miss it is they do not know how to be strong in the Lord, comma. And what's the rest of it say? In the power of His might. You see, we're just so used to taking the bull by the horns, at least I always was, and making something happen. I've got this personality. You're a lot like that. I really don't care how I do it. Let's just get it done. You know, I just get in there and just get her done. And that's the way I always was. And I had my own power, my own strength, my own ability, and usually I accomplished whatever I wanted to do. If I want to do something, I will get it done. I determined I was going to open an insurance office. I did it. Just about anything. I can go back and think of all the different things in my life I want to do, and I did it. Because I wanted to do it. Because I have a certain amount of tenacity. I had an employer one time years ago said, you've got more tenacity than anybody I've ever met. It's just grit. Where you just grit your teeth, you know, and you just do it. whether you like it or not. That kind of tenacity I'm talking about. You know? You're on the playground as a kid. They dare you to do something. You don't think I can do that? Oh, yeah. I think I can do that. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you watch me. They'll dare me. I'll make them eat their words. I'll do it. Climb the tree. Swing off of the door. I mean, just crazy things when I was growing up. Because I was told I couldn't do it, I did it. Or at least I give my best effort. But see, I had to learn something very important about revelation knowledge of God. It's empowering. And it's a way for you to rest. You see, God created man on the sixth day. And man got to enter right into his rest on the seventh. Man never had to work. God did all the work, and on the seventh day he rested. And that's why revelation in Jesus is so important, because it brings you rest like nothing else will. And it brings you peace like nothing else will. Because when you learn how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, then you stop fighting, you stop struggling, you stop trying to make it happen, and you allow him to show you the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of truth will, he said, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. The Comforter will bring, he's sent down out of heaven. Heaven is at your disposal. Heaven's at your beck and call. It's wonderful to walk in the things of the kingdom of heaven, because it's given to me to know the mysteries. I can know the mystery on this thing. As a situation comes along, okay, God, I need to know the mystery about this. I need to know what this is about. What's going on here? He'll show you. I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but he's revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God, I need you to show me something here. He'll show you. He said, I withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly before me. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I could go on and on and on, the promises and provision of the kingdom. Laid at our lap. You know, we're going to feel pretty stupid, I think. Talk about stupid. There's that word again. Jesse hates that word. The word's stupid. But we're going to feel stupid, I think, in heaven when we realize what we have forfeited. What pleasures and joys and riches and peace and all the things we forfeited, because we just would not yield to the things of the Spirit as he was leading and guiding us into them. Because we wanted to do it ourselves. We didn't learn how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know what his might is? His word. He said, this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days. Hebrews chapter 8, I'll write my word in your heart and in your mind. I'll be to you a God. You know, that's the key. If ever was a key, is learn how to let God be God. Let him be my God. You are my God. You know, I tell him all the time. Not lately, in the last few days I haven't, but I mean, I used to say it all the time. I don't have another God. You're the only God I have. I don't trust whoever and whatever you trust is your God. Did you know that?
Amen.
Some trust that Social Security check. I know people who will not let God heal them because they would lose that Social Security check or that disability check. They hang on to that disability check and they want, that's their God. Rather than let God be their God and heal them. Whatever you're putting your soul trust in is your God. Trust equals soul prosperity. Soul prosperity, trust, prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. Isn't this been a good message? It's just so basic, though, really. It's just so basic. I learned to fall out of agreement with the devil. That way I don't have to deal with any more condemnation. I walk in revelation knowledge. Light's coming. It's given to me to know the mysteries. And then I've learned how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you know what? Put on the whole armor of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's another part of being strong in the Lord, is learning how to resist the devil and not agree with him. When he comes knocking on my door, you can know who he is. Don't let the devil in. He's like a, you know, he's like a persistent salesman. Ever had a persistent salesman knock on your door? There used to be a Fuller Brush salesman come to my sister's every day at the same time, once a week. I'll share this story, then I'll close. She used to love to stay up late and sleep in. And this guy would wake her up. I think it was every Friday morning he would make his rounds around her neighborhood. And he would come to the door and knock on her door to sell her Fuller Brush. He was a Fuller Brush salesman, carried his satchel. And she got so sick of it and so mad at him because he was so persistent. And she would not open the door, and she was out, I don't want him to buy anything. Would tell him, I don't want to buy anything. Be right back the next week. Every week. Well, one morning she got up and she said, I'm going to fix him. He'll never come back here again. She teased her hair. She had this red hair anyway. She teased it out real wild. And she put green eyeshadow under her eyes like this. She blacked out her teeth. She dressed in some moppy dress. And she looked like a witch. And she came to the door. And she scared the man to death. She said he ran off his porch backwards. And he never, ever woke her up again. You have to know my sister. She does stuff like that. And this has been years ago. I mean, probably 40 years ago. But I never will forget that. That man never, Donna said he literally ran out of her yard. Scared him to death. But that's the way the devil is. He is a persistent salesman. And he's always carrying his goods to sell you. And if you open the door and say, okay, come on in, I'll listen to you and look at your stuff, well, you can't get rid of him. He wants to hang out until you buy something. It's hard to get rid of a salesman you've invited in to sit down at your table. And he's got everything spread out everywhere. Just don't let him in to begin with. Well, Father, I close with this word. I close with this prayer. And I thank you, God. And Lord, I thank you that we can be strong in you and the power of your might. I thank you that you've touched lives tonight. You've touched me. You've blessed me, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I just pray for that anointing to go forth. And Lord, it'll just be a life-changing word tonight in everyone's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.